Welcome to the Where to Hunt podcast, the podcast that connects public land hunting enthusiasts. I'm your host, Eric Clark. This is episode number 40, and on this episode, we have a great guest on the show with us, Allison Rauscher. And she is a, I don't know what I would say, maybe an upcoming star in the hunting community, but she definitely gives a lot to the hunting community. She volunteers her time to help with, finding elk in Wisconsin for our growing elk population, among other things. She's an avid outdoors woman, and she's very inspiring to listen to. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Allison on from our interview. If anybody watched on Facebook Live, it was a great, great back and forth, and she had a lot of great things to say. So thanks, Allison, again for being on the show. And
All right, so we have with us today our guest, Allison Rauscher. She has made quite the name for herself in the hunting community, hunting industry. I think she'd be classified as a huntress. And the topic of today, or the episode title, is What Don't You Do? So with that said, Allison, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Oh, well, I'm Allison Rauscher. I am 26 years old. I currently reside in South Central Wisconsin from the Madison area. I always say born, raised, living, and loving because I love that area and I love Wisconsin. I have been hunting for about 17 years, and I don't know, I've really kind of sprouted into the outdoors world even more, I guess you could say, recently. I've noticed that I'm kind of the I want to do it all type, and I think I might have bit off a little more than I can chew, but I don't know, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, kind of just prioritize that.
Yeah, yep.
That thing, I actually have a saying. Similar, but up where you can chew, just chew it anyways.
I make it work. So far at least.
So telling the audience about yourself, we got that kind of covered, but you've been hunting for 17 years. Who got you into hunting? How did you get into it?
My dad got me into it. I remember, like, as a little girl, I'd be so excited for him to get home because he would bring home animals on the back of our GMC Jimmy. And
it's good to know. Be a father soon.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I remember it was kind of like an unsaid rule that I would always get to take a picture with his animals. So he took me when I was really little. I remember bits and pieces of the first time we went out to a farm that we still turkey hunt to this day.
Okay.
And I remember sitting with him and seeing all sorts of deer, and he never shot at any of them, but it was just cool to kind of be out there. And so then he took me again when I was 9, and that was kind of when I was like, yeah, this is definitely something I want to try. And so then when I was 12, I went through my hunter safety course, and the next fall I was out bow hunting with him.
You must be so excited.
I was excited and a little nervous.
Did you get anything that first time?
I did.
That happened to me.
Yeah. Well, I think I was very lucky, and I think it's one of those things that I think it's hard to get kids into when they're that age because they can't sit still that well.
Yep.
And I think, I don't know. I mean, I think my dad kind of wanted me to get my feet wet and see what I thought of it. I think he was
smart.
A little worried about how I would react.
Yep.
I ended up shooting a doe that season with my bow for the first time.
And with your bow too, it wasn't gun.
Yeah. So, and it was this little youth Jennings. It was, I mean, now looking at it, it would probably be the tiniest thing in the world, but
did the job.
Yeah, it did.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. So, and then, okay, so you said it was a farm. The question now, when I ask everybody, every single guest that's ever been on the show, this is episode 40, which is kind of exciting. But do you hunt public land or private land?
I have hunted public. However, I am fortunate enough to have some private to hunt. Family members' land, they're fantastic enough to let us hunt there.
That's cool.
It is. And it's cool because, I mean, I'd be happy hunting anywhere, but it's even better because it's
a family, it's heritage.
And and it's just awesome to be able to hang out with them and, spend time. And we have our inside jokes and always giving each other crap, and so
you guys kind of have like the same spots, and the spot is
we actually do. We have like names for stands and areas and each other, so It's always fun.
Well, it makes it kind of nice then, too. When you get with that group, you can, it's like a different language at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
Rock on. So that's the last part of the get to know you. Do you have like a favorite hunting story? Funny, sad, awesome, whatever?
I have a lot of those. I would say my favorite is easily my first hunt ever. Actually, I shouldn't say my first hunt ever, because I got my hunter safety in the spring, and it was right before turkey season, mm-hmm. so I was able to go turkey hunting, and I remember, like, thinking that was so boring, and I wasn't, like, that into turkey hunting. I was more excited to bow hunt.
Yep.
And so then bow hunting rolled around, and I remember my mom went out and bought me some camel clothing. Of course, it was, like, boys, and she bought me like 3 sizes too big because, you know, I'll grow into it kind of thing. It'll last me a long time. And so I remember like waddling out there with like super baggy pants, and I remember my dad and I sat in the same tree because he wanted to film it. And I think he was a pretty proud father at that moment.
How far was the shot for that one?
Oh gosh. It wasn't far. Okay. I mean, my bow, the poundage on my bow was like next to nothing.
Okay.
And the first night I had actually shot at a deer and totally didn't even,
nothing.
It wasn't even close kind of thing. And then, so we cranked the poundage up and I shot a couple more times and then went out again another night. And the first time I shot, I thought I missed, and she ran off and start like kind of was like flicking her ears and came back, and so I knocked another arrow, shot again, missed completely. I think I went under her that time. I think I was shaking so bad. Like, have you ever seen? I always compare it to, have you seen the video of the girl from YouTube? Yeah, and she's like shaking so bad. That was me. And so then, oh gosh. Then she ended up coming back like a third time, but she was kind of like walking through where they came from. And I shot and dropped her. And I remember like, I didn't know what to feel. I was super excited. I was laughing, but like crying. And I remember like looking at my dad, and I think we hugged each other. I think he was just as excited as I was. And I remember him saying that he didn't know if he got it on film because like he did one of those things where he like was filming it and then like went to look around the camera. And so, he ended up getting it on film, but we always joke around. It's a joke in our family. I always tell the story about how at the time I like had so much adrenaline running through me that I had to pee so bad. Mm-hmm. And so you can hear me on camera saying I have to pee something tremendous. And so it's always an ongoing joke about that. So, that was easily the coolest hunt.
That's
and
cool.
Wasn't a big doe by any means, but I think, like I said, he
was
just
first
wanted
deer.
To
That's
exactly.
Awesome,
and, you know, kids get bored easily, and I think he was just kind of, I had never seen anything actually killed either. And
so you're hooked at that point.
At that point, I was. I was definitely, you know, I felt some remorse, but for the most part, I was like,
that was awesome.
You know, that was so cool. And I remember, too, I was thinking about this the other day. I remember the first time that we actually ate venison steaks from that deer. And I remember my dad saying, like, this is your deer. And I just thought that was, like, the coolest thing. Like, to watch it, you know, from start to finish. And, you know, I put that meat on the table that my family was eating. It was just really
cool.
Yeah. It was. It was rewarding.
It's probably one of my favorite parts, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
There was a time my dad and I were up in the Nicolet National Forest. He shot a doe. We were way down some logging road, like the absolute middle of nowhere. There was not another human being anywhere near us. And so he cuts the back straps out, put some charcoal on this little tiny grill on the tailgate. And we ate the back straps
right there.
And I was like, you know, seeing the deer in the tailgate, I'm like, okay, whatever, that's sad and weird, but this is the best tasting meat I've ever had.
Yeah.
We had like some onions and mushrooms and some butter, and we just,
there,
you know,
that's
it's like,
way to do
oh,
it.
Man. So
those
are the stories that, and the moments that you remember forever.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So hunting's so special, but so let's talk about how you're involved with hunting. You got quite a bit going on.
Yeah.
You kind of mentioned that a little bit when you were walking in, and I'll let you speak to some of these things on the screen here.
Okay.
So I won't give anything away that you don't want to talk about, but I'll let you kind of take the reins with that.
So I originally started helping my dad out at the Whitetails Unlimited banquets when I was a kid.
Okay.
And I mean, I helped here and there with some of the raffles, but I think over the years, as I got older, I've really wanted to, you know, not take over it, because I mean, it's something that me and my grandpa have done together for many, many years, and it's always been something, you know, we always know that that time of year, that's what we'll be doing. But in recent years, I've taken over some ticket sales. I've been able to do a lot more selling there. I volunteer at the South Central Deer Camp as well. So that's something that I've done for a really, really long time, and I always enjoy seeing the same guys come through year after year.
And I wanted to make it there, and then just stuff happens.
It does.
Sucks. I think
it's
probably leaving this house or something. I don't know.
Well, that, and I mean, anyway. You know, you're spending money. I mean, it's for a great cause, but I also understand that, you know, not everybody has that kind of money to just spend. So I've been doing that, and then recently, I was telling you that I recently got involved with Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation here in Wisconsin. It started out kind of, I always knew that there was an elk population in Wisconsin, but I never really thought about getting involved until I was probably in college, later college years. And I was thinking, you know, I can't afford a membership. Like, that's not something I should be spending my money on. Well, I kind of looked into it further recently and was like, you know, you don't have to have a membership just to volunteer kind of thing. And, and so I sent one email, I don't even remember who it was to, but, I sent this one email and all of a sudden I just got a flood of emails back. Sorry.
No, that's why it's here. I think Sam, when he was here, we had like three each.
I can't have that many. But yeah, so I got this flood of emails back and I was shocked because it kind of showed me that, you know, they're welcoming everybody at this point. I think not many people know about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think people know about the Rocky Mountain Elk.
So they're probably excited to hear from someone.
But they think, well, I think people think that it's just something that is for out west kind of thing.
Yep.
When really we have elk in our own backyard here.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the email and they were like, we have our first meeting this week. And, you know, and then I got another email from a guy named Steven at the DNR, and he was like, we're going to be looking for elk calves here the next couple weeks up until possibly beginning of July. So he invited me out to do that, and I'm
sorry. You guys found elk, though. I mean, that's the photo that I shared.
Yeah, yep.
Okay.
We did. So it was interesting to learn, because I had no idea how any of that stuff worked. I had no idea how they go about tracking that stuff and, you know, how elk do all of that. And so it was interesting to find out that the cows will leave the herd to go give birth, which whitetails do too. But there was one that we started out looking for that was like down in Monroe County, which they said is actually very, very far for a cow to go. Yeah. So anyway, we ended up finding one calf that weekend. However, I just got an update the other day saying that they've found, I believe, 8 calves, and 6 of them are collared. but they're expecting to have a lot more to find.
And it's just usually one elk will have one calf. It's not going to be
multiple. I don't know that. I don't know if they can have 2 or not.
Maybe 2, but a lot more than that.
Again, I don't have all the answers. So I've been doing that, and I just had my first meeting with them recently. And I didn't expect necessarily to, I didn't really know what the meeting would entail, but basically now I'm on the Badger Chapter Committee, which is very, very neat. They were very welcoming.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just saying, I'm going to help out, and now you're, like, totally involved.
Yeah. It was like,
well, what am I going to do to help out? And they're like, no, everybody. That's awesome.
They kind of just welcomed me in there, and it's very cool because, so for starters, in August, we're organizing a ladies' night.
Yep.
And I walked into the first meeting, and it was four women, including myself, and that just, like, blew me away. I was like, this is so cool. Like, these women were so opinionated, but, like, in the best way. I thought it was so cool that they were just as passionate as I am, and they know their stuff. I mean, they have it down to a science. I mean, this is only the second time they've done it, but it was very cool to kind of learn from them a little bit.
So you're
kind of
in the ground level, too, if it's only the second time.
Yeah, well, so that's just the ladies' night one.
Okay.
Yeah, so then I stayed after that, and we had an actual committee meeting, and so it's people of all ages on the committee, which was super cool. And so, yeah, it's something that I kind of was just, like, brought into, and I was like, all right, well, let's go with this kind of thing.
Yeah,
so I'm looking forward to that. I also am pro staff for Onyx Maps.
Okay.
And I'm also pro staff for Tall Time Bowstrings.
Okay.
I'm loving that also. That was also another thing that I was very unsure of.
So how did that unfold? How did that kind of come about? What does that mean for you? Where you have to...
I really have to, it's funny because somebody messaged me about it back during, like, bow season, and I remember thinking, like, this is a scam.
This is a scam,
like,
yeah.
This is just not real. You know, I'm not, I don't have professional photographers with me all the time. I don't, or ever, really. And so... I was like, I don't understand why anybody would want me to do any of that kind of stuff for them. And when I thought about it, I was like, you know, I don't really have the time. Mm-hmm. I don't have, you know, the resources, the money. You know, I know part of it requires spending some money. So I was a little hesitant on it. A couple months go by, same person keeps being like, you should do this. You should do this. You'd be great at it. And, so finally I was like, all right, he was in town for the Deer and Turkey Expo, back in April.
Okay. Yep.
And so I was like, all right, well, I'll be there. I was working the Whitetails Unlimited banquet that weekend. And I was like, let's just meet up and we'll discuss it. And then I can kind of get more information and then we'll go from there. So we met up, he was super cool, super understanding that, like, you know, I'm not made of money and I'm not, you know, I don't have all the time in the world, but it's something that I really wanted to get into it because I love networking with other people.
Yeah.
I love meeting other outdoorsmen. Especially because I, you know, I don't know, it's
just something to talk about. It's like one of those things you go to, I think about, like, anytime I have to go to some forced awkward event, if I find someone there that is a deer hunter, I'm like, thank God.
Yeah.
I have someone to talk to, you know? And it's like, that's it. I mean, that's kind of the name of the game. So if I had all people that's always, I mean, it's a beautiful thing.
That's me at, like, any new job, anything new. Like, if I find a hunter, I'm like, yes, okay, we're going to
get that. So we're great. Yep.
So that's kind of one of the reasons I did it. And I've met so many great people already. Mm-hmm. I really haven't been doing it that long, but I've already met so many awesome people. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that I've become actually pretty close with.
Which is cool.
Yeah. So, and then I also recently became a team member for Sportswomen United.
Okay.
Which is incredibly important to me because being a female hunter, not that I mean, it's definitely something that's embraced now.
Yep.
Not that it, and I don't think it wasn't back then or back.
But there's two different breeds of that, it seems like.
I don't know how to describe, like, when I was a kid, that was never something, like, I didn't have any female role models that were hunters, but it was never in my mind, like, that it was something that I couldn't do.
Right.
So, when I saw, there's so many different organizations now, like that. There's, I mean, Sportswomen United, there's American Daughters of Conservation, both of which I am, like, all for. Yeah. I think it's so cool because when I look at the future, I'm like, you know, I would love to get other girls into it. Mm-hmm. I would love, more importantly, I love other girls to hunt with and do that kind
of
stuff.
To have the buddy camaraderie thing that all the guys had.
Yeah, well, then that too.
Right? And then,
yeah. I mean, I have that with some of my guy friends
and
family. Yep. I don't really hunt with many girls. I have a cousin that hunts with us too, and it's always nice. I'm so happy when she started hunting with us. But I mean, not that guys don't get it, but I think there's something cool about girls that do that stuff together.
I get
and
that part, yep.
There's things that happen with girls and hunting that I don't think guys fully understand.
Like we can piss out of our tree stand.
Well, that too, yeah. Definitely can't do that.
Just, yeah.
That, but like, well, that and I think relating as far as how girls get treated sometimes as girls.
Well, I think personally, I think it'd be freaky as a girl to go out into the woods knowing that the majority of people that are around you are going to be guys.
Oh, that's never even crossed my mind.
I personally think, like, you know.
Maybe on, you know, in some area, like, if I were doing that on public, I'd be a little more concerned about that.
And I think
but,
of hunting through that lens most often because that's what I do. But
yeah.
Private, you're right. It's probably totally different.
Yeah, I mean, I know everybody
around me. Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's, there's that, and I mean, the one thing that is kind of frustrating sometimes is, like, you know, the main thing is why I want women to hunt and fish with and do that kind of stuff with or learn from is because I feel like sometimes if you ask a guy to teach you how to do something, they automatically think, like, oh, you're interested in me.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, no, it's one of those things, like,
Dude, I just want to go hunting.
I just want to learn. Well,
yeah.
So,
or whatever.
For example, most recently, it's always been on my outdoors bucket list that I wanted to learn how to bow fish. And I had asked my buddies in high school to take me forever, and none of them ever did. So then I was like, this summer, I'm learning, I want to go.
Someone take me, yeah.
Yeah, and so I talked to several people. I was like, it's something I really want to learn how to do, and I think it was one of those things that, like, guys got, like, either they got weirded out by it, or they were like, oh, yeah, and then thought, like, I was
there's
just
something more
trying
there.
To, yeah.
Yeah,
and so I ended up contacting a buddy, well, a guy that I went to high school with that I actually never talked to in high school, but he owns a guide service in the Madison area and bow fishes. And he was like, absolutely, I'll take you. I'll teach you how to bow fish. And it was me and like three other guys the first night we went out, and they were super patient with me. So cool about it. They were great teachers. I only shot like one fish, but it was
that sounds like that'd be good. I don't know.
Well, so yeah, I mean, I was hooked within 15 minutes.
Sure.
I didn't shoot anything. I shot a lot, but I didn't shoot anything within the first 15 minutes, but it was so much fun. And I was like, I'd love to be able to do this more, but, yeah. So stuff like that, it's like, I want to learn. There's so many things I want to learn, and I just want people to teach me. The cool thing about Sportswomen United is actually right now we're planning a trip down to Arkansas on the Buffalo River.
Okay.
Another thing I've always wanted to learn how to do is fly fish.
Yep.
My dad was not a fly fisherman. So
it's pretty epic.
I've never learned.
It's pretty epic.
So it's something that I'm definitely interested in. And like I said, it's definitely on my bucket list. So there's a couple other team members from Sportswomen United that are going to teach us.
That's cool.
So yeah, it's very cool to be a part of. So, yeah, that's kind of been my involvement so far. Like I said, there's so many things that I want to do.
Yep.
There's only so many things I have time for.
Sure.
But
because you're a student still, right?
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to nursing school still. I currently work in the ER as well. But, yeah, so we'll see what happens. But I think slowly as time goes on, hopefully my time will free up a little more.
It'll be fun to follow. And I think you kind of – I mean, we don't have to answer every question on here. That's not how this is designed. But, what I do have a lot of here is to answer some questions from anybody watching or anybody that has been watching. So I'm going to take this camera, get real personal here for a second.
Oh, boy.
What's going on, everybody? So no questions. If you have questions, we're paying attention now. So if you have questions for Allison or where to hunt, go ahead and ask. We'll answer them. I'll try to pay attention to this for a little bit. But I think shout out for yourself as you kind of build more steam with everything that you're doing. It'd be fun for people that might not be following you to follow you. And if you could help them understand where to go to do that, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Oh, yeah. I don't know. There's so many platforms.
I
there's different names
Twitter.
For each one of them. So, yeah.
I can't keep up with everything.
Anybody ask anything yet here, but go ahead.
So you can find me on Facebook, Allison Rauscher, or on Instagram at Allison Rauscher. I really don't have that many.
That's great. No, that's great. It's nice and focused
that I'm
on. People can find you.
Huh.
I got all sorts of weird ones, but I'll get to that when I do all this part here.
Yeah.
So I think with that, we're at how many minutes? Does it tell me on this thing? Of course not. It tells me on this other thing. So, yeah, that's perfect. Do you have anything else you want to add?
Not really. I mean, I don't know.
We'll have to have you back, too. I mean, as you kind of do more, it'd be fun to kind of hear how the journey has treated you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it'll
especially
be interesting.
The fly fishing stuff and everything like that.
I'm very excited about that.
And the
it'll
elk
be...
population stuff, that'll be cool to hear about, too.
Absolutely.
To end this, but hold on a second. No, that's good. I'm trying to think. I didn't have anything else for you, so that'd be great. We'll have this up in, I don't know, next day or two, and then we'll let you share, and I'll share, and everyone can share, and it'll be fun to hear. So it'll be a great thing to look back on. So thanks for being a guest today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Taking time out of the woods and out of
Thank
school and out of your day job and everything else to come here and hang out.
Thank you for
inviting me. Yeah, no problem.
Appreciate it. It's been fun.
Hope you enjoyed the interview with Allison. I really enjoyed it. It's just great to talk to other hunters. I mean, that's kind of the name of the game with the podcast. If you've made it this far in the podcast, big thanks. And, you know, I put an ad into the podcast before to promote the hunting app. I'm just going to go ahead and say, if you haven't downloaded the Where to Hunt GPS hunting app, I encourage you to do so. It is, you know, if you ever used Uber and you can see, you know, when the car is on their way to come pick you up, and you can watch it on the app moving through the streets as it gets closer and closer. That's how the Where to Hunt GPS app works with other hunters. Instead of seeing, obviously, an Uber driver, you're seeing other hunters navigate through the woods real time, hopefully getting further and further away. But it's free to download, and it's really fun to use, especially if you upgrade for $1.99 to the pro version, which allows you to privatize the public side of things and just use it with your buddies. And kind of see where your buddies are, specifically in the woods for deer drives, safety, things like that. And I know if you have private land, it's kind of cool to see where maybe guests are. And obviously, if you're a public land hunter, it's really cool because then you can really know where your friends are, your buddies, your dad, your grandfather, your son, your daughter, whoever's out there hunting with you. So anyway, thanks again for listening. Hope you have a great day. Thanks for taking time out of the woods to listen to the podcast and hunt public.
I've always got my ear protection. I point my gun in the right direction.